You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the No Low Ballers podcast. I'm your host, Logan Medish of High Caliber History, and as always, I'm joined around the table by a wonderful group of guys, an eclectic group of guys. We have Dan from Go Wild, we have Alan from Gunbroker, and our very special guest, we have Simon Chiavani, the owner of SK Customs. Simon, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, custom guns. I mean, that is a incredibly broad topic, but you have found, I would almost say, kind of a niche in a broad topic, and it's a really cool kind of a niche. So, tell us a little bit about how SK Customs came to be and sure, what everything's all about.
Well, we believe in history, as we all love that class in school.
We believe in history.
That's some of us more than others.
Right? That should be a tagline for you and a tagline for me. Yeah.
So with everything that we do, we really do a lot of research before it goes on to a final product. Mm-hmm. Coming up with the only, you know, being the only series-driven manufacturer of custom collectible firearms, you know, that's what we're known for. It's a lot to say. What does it mean? It means we come up with a theme. It's a historic theme of some sort, and it's tailored to a certain broader audience. And then we just run productions. You know, we'll put that history every year out there, and typically around the fourth year, which is the fourth production, you know, we'll start to evaluate, do we keep going with it or do we shorten it up? Mm-hmm. You know, there's some productions you can run for years and years because there's so much rich history out of it.
Sure.
What I like the most, what we launched, what was it, in 2021, was the Lost States of America series.
Oh, that was very cool.
That one really hit home.
Sure.
Literally. You know, we started off with the Lost State of Jacinto for, you know, commemorating Sam Houston, mm-hmm, and the Alamo Avengers and all that happened to us in Texas, let's just say.
Sure.
But the nice thing about it, and a lot of people may or may not already know this, but the grips are native to Texas. They're mesquite. They're mesquite charred grips. So, and taking that idea and running with it a second time with the Lost State of Franklin, you know, we commemorated it, and we actually launched that at NWTF's 50th anniversary convention February.
Yeah.
It was in Tennessee.
Yep, my backyard in Nashville.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful place. So we decided to go with the whiskey barrel grips.
Sure.
Everything indigenous. And this year we have something new coming out. All I'll tell you is it'll have bourbon grips on it.
Okay, so we got the Louisville guys here.
Okay, there you go.
And we got me. So where do we leave our credit cards? I think that's the question.
I'll just mail you the bourbon grips. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. Alan's just gonna be licking the grips. You know,
I might have been thinking that about the mesquite ones. So it was like, it shoots good, smells good, tastes good. What's not to like?
Right. So with these themes that you guys are doing, you know what? So explain to us, you know, like with the Franklin gun, you know, let's talk, what are you putting on the guns and how are you putting what you're putting on the guns?
So the inspiration comes from a lot of research from our historians that we have working for us. We're in Northern Virginia right now, so we're right next to the Capitol, the swamp, call it what you like. Yeah. but we got some great people in the Smithsonians that, you know, are 2A advocates, and they love what we do. They love what we present. So we get feedback, and we'll take that into an internal team. The internal team will review it. We'll do our due diligence on it, which is weeks worth of work. At that point, we'll understand that, okay, this gun can become a commemorative to a certain region or individual or both. So, and that's what the Lost States of America tributes to. Having the art, it's really taking cameos from history and taking insignia from history. And, you know, we'll probably speak about it a little later, but the, you know, collectability or engraving on pistols, it's not just something that all of a sudden happened, you know.
Right.
You know, the warriors of the past, they always, the medieval times, the Ottoman Empire, you know, everyone, their daggers, everything had a rhyme and a reason to it. So,
sure.
Engraving, carving, insignia, family crest, coat of arms, call it what you like. You know, it's there's something that's close to someone for some reason.
So are the guns that you're choosing, are they regionally significant as well?
The manufacturers we work with, we've been very blessed. We work with Colt a lot, obviously, with the 45 caliber and the 38 Super. We have more discussions in talks. We've done some, you know, 44 Magnum Anacondas with the Untamed series, which is your deadliest predators. Watch out for part three this year.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, right. Spoiler alert. That's right. But then, you know, we have a great relationship with Smith & Wesson, and we launched our Gods of Olympus series. That's our Greek mythology series.
Very cool.
We launched with Poseidon. We launched, and then second to that, the sequel was Zeus. And then in between Zeus and Ares, we were able to work with Smith & Wesson and get an engraver's model of the E-Series, which is the platform that we used in the first two productions. And when they asked, what do you want from it? I said, I want a blank slide. I need space for art.
Right.
So, you know, the two serrations in the front and the back, the cocking serrations, they avoided those. And then we were able to create our own serrations out of that. So,
gotcha.
But Smith & Wesson and our newest launch this year, we started off strong with the early Renaissance series. So that is a tribute. You know, a lot of Browning high power, you know, folks love the Renaissance guns that are collectible, you know, 70s, 60s hand engraving work for the high powers. What I did is something different. And what the team did is something different. We decided to take new modern, call it, art and put it onto a new platform that Springfield Armory just created. And it's the engraver's model, Garrison. So first time hitting the market. And it's a run of 1,000 guns split into four productions of 250 each. And we're launching them all this year. So Michelangelo launched first quarter. Da Vinci will launch second quarter. Del Sarto will launch third quarter, and then we end the quarter with Raphael.
So, so two of the Ninja Turtles.
They've got turtle grips.
Right. Yeah, turtle shell, turtle grips. Yeah.
Leonardo will be there.
Yeah. Now, Simon, I know you said applying modern art, and I've always looked at your stuff, and I mean, I grew up near Sturgis motorcycle culture, so you know, I'm always reminded of great tattoo art on your slides, and I can't help but notice that you're a little bit of an aficionado as well.
Does that kind of play into it a little
Well, bit?
What are we rated here?
I changed in the booth yesterday.
Yeah,
so
you wouldn't be the first topless person in this booth this show. Let's just put it that way. So,
no, I've spent a lot of time traveling the world. I've been in all kinds of different fields. And you asked where we came from. Mm-hmm. So I'm a third generation military brat. Obviously, I was in the military myself, and I got out early. I was able to travel on contract work, and I made a promise to myself that everywhere I go, I would get a tattoo.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So everywhere I've been to, I've either built off of certain tattoos and then obviously just adding more and more and more and more and more. And I got two little girls, so obviously I got one here, and I'm waiting for the second one until we travel to the next country. So,
so are you getting them in the country you're traveling to, or do you wait till you come back?
I'm getting them in the country I travel
to. That's pretty cool.
That's really neat.
Well, you talked about just the warrior culture of embellishing weapons, but I mean, there's also a very rich culture of the warrior embellishing the body as well. So, yes. I mean, they do kind of go hand in hand.
And the weapon's an extension of the body, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And that actually brings up a good point, because we started SK Customs by launching the Mana, the Polynesian Warrior 1911 on the Colt. And that was a great success. I mean, because that's like Polynesian art, and I got to take in the tribal, you know, lifestyle and bring out the Maori life,
right.
Which then led me to say, we got to do a haka, the Haka the Kamate.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan in rugby. So the rugby boys in New Zealand, you know, they do the Haka the Kamate. It's a very choreographed warrior style chant, call it, and it's mean, it's scary.
You don't really know. I mean, it's chant, you know, there's more to it, but you can't really call it a dance, because that's not even giving it its due credit. To see it is incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, just it's like the anger behind them. I mean, it's like they're angry, but they're trying to warn you, don't come to our neighborhood, to our country.
Yeah, right. It really makes the whole, okay, team on three seem really weak.
Yeah. Absolutely. But that was great. I mean, that started SK Customs, and that was a hit. So, I mean, we went from doing 4 productions a year to now doing 14
a year. Wow.
So we like to keep the numbers low. The largest production we've done is 300, and that's part of a series, of course.
I imagine just the amount of work that goes into them, though, kind of limits that by itself.
Yeah.
This isn't like some custom shops where they just engrave, no step on snake on the side of the slide. Hey, there's our, we did it with the Dremel. There's our collectible. I mean, these are really, they're works of art in many cases.
Yeah. We got a great team. Everyone has so much involvement in this, and even, Gunbroker, we love you guys so much. You guys have done so much for us. And being on this podcast, when I first heard the name No Low Ballers, I was like, I love it.
That's all me, baby.
I got to subscribe to this. One day I'll be on the show. And really, it's just, I mean, Gunbroker has such a great influence on the community and what they do and where they're going. And I really appreciate everything Gunbroker does, and now with you guys on board,
we appreciate you being here. So we know you do a ton of research and due diligence to come up with the artwork and the design and make sure that what you're putting on the guns, obviously that it fits your theme and what you're going for, but it fits the lines of the gun, and everything's got to flow and be one cohesive piece. And so now we've decided on what's going on the gun. Talk to us a little bit about the technology of how it's going on the gun. Are we talking laser engraving? Are we talking hand engraving? Are we talking pneumatic hand engraving?
Sure.
So talk to us a bit about that aspect of the guns.
It's great that you mention it. We do have some techniques, and one of the techniques off of the Gods of Olympus theme, which we proprietized, was the conversion coating. So it's basically all laser. But it's, it's not your basic lasers. It's lasers that can do 32 gamuts of color on a certain slide, hit at the right temperature in a certain radius for a certain amount of time.
Do you have any sharks that have these lasers mounted on their head?
We couldn't get sharks. Okay. We've got sea bat, mutated sea bats.
Okay.
But no, we were able to pull off some great colors, and it's highly reflective. It's not like Cerakote or DLC. It's not a finish that if you rub it, it's going to come off. It's permanent. It's stuck.
It's part of the gun.
Correct. Yeah. It's part of the gun. So, we do lasers. We do high polishing, everything by hand. And then we also have our hand engravers that we work with for the Bespoke collection. And that's a collection we launched late in 22.
Okay.
I think it was December of 22. So it's only been about a year and some change. And the Bespoke collection really came from the passion of giving credit to where credit's due. It's those guys that, have arthritis in their hands today. Going back years, of different styles of engraving, different shades of engraving, just so many different methods.
Yeah.
And we've been blessed to be partnered with a few of the FIGA master engravers around the country that, either they have their own collection that they're ready to part with, and we'll buy the estate and we'll do a whole show and dance and bring it to market. That's our high end. The kind of division, our Bespoke collection.
Mm-hmm.
We would never like, for instance, we had, you know, some special lady Colts, which, you know, were double action and they hammerless. They never really made it to the market like they should have. We would never embellish those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As they come, they go. That's
right.
It.
It's a collectible in its own right.
It's history.
It's history.
It's almost artifact. It's less of a collectible.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. Ben Schostel, we have plenty of his single action armies. He's no longer with us. So we have current modern day engravers that are certified through FIGO, which go through this elaborate process of getting certified. And, you know, it's
not easy.
It's not. No, it's not. It's not like you just pay a fee and you get in, you're a master engraver.
I mean, I just appreciate their sacrifice of probably giving up coffee for life for that job. So.
Well, you might say that. But so my wife does engraving. She's a jeweler and she does engraving and she still drinks coffee.
Is that
so
how they get the scroll work going?
Yeah. That's how you do the wavy lines. Yeah, no. But it is. It is. It's a really impressive art form, whether they are doing the traditional hammer and chisel or they're using the pneumatic air gravers.
Right.
You know, there is so much dedication that goes into creating that. And like you said, you know, the to become a master engraver takes so much time and energy and effort, and to be able to pair that with the time and energy and effort that you guys have spent, you know, on making sure everything is historically accurate. Mm-hmm. That's really cool to be able to melt those two worlds together.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. And, you know, it's something that, you know, I'd love to give shout out. So, you know, Tom Harvey, we launched a production with his line of work, and he has such a unique way of thinking. It's just bringing out these works of art that I love. And that's what really drew me to, all right, we're going to launch the production with your estate, with your collection.
Mm-hmm.
And then bringing on Duguet from, he's actually in Virginia where we're from. He's a French engraver. He does a lot of great, beautiful stuff. We have Roger Sampson, who does amazing work. Mitch Machetti, he's really great with this 3D style of engraving. You know, like, if you've seen 3D tattoos, people are like, what do you think about what is that?
Right.
3D? No, it's unbelievable.
It's legit.
And that's what we call modern day cult collectibles or bespoke collectibles.
Sure.
So, you know, it's great to have the best of both worlds. You know, we have your laser production guns, which are at a minimum, and, you know, they will appreciate. That's just how the market goes. And a lot of people, the Purple Heart commemorative. We did the 240th Purple Heart commemorative.
Uh-huh.
And that was more of a tribute than to the Purple Hearts, obviously our recipients, what they've gone for, what they sacrificed for. Donation production where we worked with Purple Heart Homes and we worked with Purple Heart Integration Project in Georgetown, Texas,
which
it's their own city. They have their own city for Purple Heart recipients they're giving back to what the cause is. So we did 240 to mark the 240th anniversary. We worked with the U.S. Mint. We got the Purple Heart coins.
Yeah.
We did some special medallions on the grips. And I was just telling someone, we were passing by, he said that one of his buddies just came back from tour and hit an IED and received the Purple Heart and wanted to know where we got those grips from. And I said, give me your address.
Because
we don't sell accessories.
Right.
But we do have leftovers. You know?
Right.
Just to hear the stories and be a part of something bigger with NWTF and their conservation, you know, needs and Kids in Clay. You know, last year we did a one gun a run proceed to them. So every production we produce, we donated one gun to them.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So, and that's where, you know, I realized, I said, all right, so we're doing, you know, so much giving back to the community. Why don't we do an SK Gives Back initiative?
Only logical.
Yes.
Right?
Only logical, yeah. Yeah. And it's not to tell people that, yeah, you know, we make money, we sell, we give money, we do. No, it's giving back to the community. It's greater and bigger than all of us in what we do.
Right.
But Simon, you're downplaying a little bit. I mean, just calling it an initiative. I mean, you've made a pretty substantial promise here, and you're delivering. That's the kicker.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, and it's been great. I mean, with the DC project, with So many different foundations that we worked with, and we have a whole page on this on our website. Mm-hmm. And we welcome new foundations to come and speak with us and let us know what they have going on. And we would love to do something to commemorate your foundation.
I want to make you say the dollar amount. I can tell you you're not comfortable doing it, but I'm going to make you say it.
So in just 3 years, we have come across just a little over $750,000 in donations.
That is amazing.
I couldn't believe it until my finance manager, she was like, "Do you know we donated this much to SK Gives Back?" I'm like, awesome.
Is the comma in the wrong place?
who did this math?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, that is huge. And that's an understatement.
There are a lot of bigger organizations in our space who will make promises and they'll deliver. They really do. But I mean, on this scale for a company your size
it's
unheard
huge.
Of. Yeah.
And talking size, that's another thing. You know, how big is SK Customs?
We're not that big, actually. I mean, we have 14 people working for us full time.
Okay.
We have two locations in Virginia. We have a corporate office. We have a e-commerce retail center. We're not a brick and mortar. We don't entertain walk-ins, so to say. It's just because our main focus is the production side,
sure.
The custom side. We just purchased a lot in St. John's County, St. Augustine, so we're doing a 19,000 square foot warehouse there.
Oh, very cool.
So another distribution center, so to say. So we got a lot of people working around the clock, through various outlets, through various partnerships as well, that help us be able to make our targets.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I always get nervous when you talk to a custom gun shop. I'm like, we have 250 employees. Okay. Sounds kind of like a production company to me.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, exactly. You sound like a distributor more than you sound.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think 14 is a good number.
Yeah.
It's a good
yeah.
number.
It is a good number.
It's, we all wear a lot of different hats, right?
Sure.
And, you'll find us working all hours of the day. It was funny. It was over Christmas holiday, and we all have access to the general inbox, and I happened to reply back to a customer one day. He's like, "Oh, you guys must be a small operation if you're writing back during Christmas Eve." I'm like, "No, we just believe in getting back to our customers."
Right.
You call us, you leave us a message. There is a timeline. There's a ticker on when that gun will sell. And if you're asking questions about it, you're going to get the answers.
Yeah. Right.
So we treat everyone the same. And we have a lot of repeat clientele. We have a lot of repeat dealers. We do dealer discounts as well. We have dealer programs. So for all your retailers, brick and mortars, online e-commerce sellers, please.
Yeah. So you were talking about, you just mentioned the ticker on a timeline to sell. When you're coming up with these themes, are you thinking about how big is the demographic for it? Because you said you started off with a Polynesian, and I'm like, that seems like such a small market that would be interested in it, and it sells through. So now you're doing a Rafael gun. Are you thinking, I think this is going to sell through quick. I don't care how quick it sells through. If it doesn't sell any, it's a cool design.
Yes. I believe in it's art, it's history. We're going to bring it out there. And, with Anubis, we did Anubis, the gods of Egypt. Not a lot of people understood it. We got some emails that we had to explain to people, this is not satanic. This is mythology.
Right.
Just because you see a mummy and a jackal head over, it's
right.
not, it's mythology.
Stop reading into it.
Right.
I'm like, when was the last time you saw a pyramid front sight made of gold?
I think what Dan's asking is, when is the Taylor Swift Travis Kelce edition coming? Because he wants on the list.
Yes.
That would sell. That's on the other end of the demographic.
You can send us an email at info.
But it is kind of like, you were talking about tattoos. It's kind of like those people that find a great tattoo artist and they go into the shop and the tattoo artist says, "What are you looking for?" And he goes, "Whatever you think's cool."
Yeah.
It's like, I trust you. You're the artist. You're the expert. If you think it's cool, I will pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hindsight, but you read the history books. Like, people commissioned Michelangelo to do something. So imagine hiring Michelangelo and saying, "This is what I want you to do," as opposed to, "Sir,
Right. But I've got a couple guns at home that I commissioned from a FIGA master engraver, and I just sent him the gun. He says, what are you looking for? I said, just do you.
Yeah.
That's why I chose you, because I want your work on the gun. So I had no idea what I was going to get till I got it back.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be happier to have let the artist do what the artist does. And if I wanted to tell him what to do, then I would have just scribbled on it myself.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. I mean, a lot of times the first question is, what's your budget? Because they can go.
Sure.
They can inlay. I mean, Roger Sampson, one of the pythons we have, has 14 grams worth of gold inlaid into it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so you can.
But you think a regular python's expensive.
Well, you know. So. The quick segue on that, you know, I knew Simon was coming on, and obviously I looked at everything he had on GunBroker, and I couldn't pick one. But I thought, all right, we're going to talk collectibles, we're going to talk, you know, heirloom guns. Let's look at some of the best out there. So we recently had a Colt Serpentine set, so talk about that. This was a set that Colt made 50 of. It was the Anaconda, it was the Python, and it was the King Cobra.
Okay.
And they were matching calibers, you know, special serial numbers. They made 50 sets. There's only 17 of them still in existence. The rest have been broken up and sold off in pieces.
Okay.
So this is a one of 17. You're in this space. You want to take a guess at the sell price?
It's probably upwards of 70, 80,000.
Ooh, this guy got a deal. This went off at 25.5.
Get out of
here. No, 25. It was like 25.575. So
wow. Well, you know the hottest commodity today on GunBrokers, the jade.
Yes.
That jade is such a beautiful gun. You could see it at the Baron.
The Jade Vaquero, yes. Yeah. That one. We were talking about earlier today. We get these, we do a lot of these special charity auctions for groups, and they always come up with these crazy high gloss finishes that are impossible to photograph.
Yeah.
And the jade hit, and I opened the photos, and I saw the stocks on that thing. Oh my God. They're made of jade.
It's gorgeous.
Stunning. Yeah. As a beautiful gun.
Yeah, it was done in 2003, and back then, those grips alone, that amount of material for jade was $4,000.
Yeah.
So what it's worth today is just
anybody's guess.
Well, we'll find out soon.
Yeah.
We'll find out soon.
But that's another one of those guns that's had like 16, 18 ounces worth of gold hammered into it, inlaid into it. It's just unbelievable.
Right. Well, and that's part of it, what people don't understand. They're like, wait, it costs how much? I'm like, do you realize just how much just in the materials that are in that gun?
Yeah,
you know, let alone the labor that's in the gun, just the materials.
Yeah.
It's really quite impressive.
Yeah. It is.
As is everything that you guys are doing.
Thank you.
You know, we've really enjoyed seeing all the different series that you guys have had, and appreciate you, bringing us in and giving us some of the behind the scenes of how you choose what you choose. Yeah. You know,
and the amount of legwork and research time that go into it before the first, you know, bit hits the first slide to engrave it.
Right.
Again, I don't think a lot of companies do. I think they look at it as a piece of art, and what artwork do I want to put onto it? Where this really is, you know, very meaningful. The symbology you're choosing goes on there is very deliberate, very well researched.
And just to give people an idea, this doesn't happen in 2 or 3 months. You know, we're scoped out. I mean, like right now, I have productions up to 2029, but that's because we did all the legwork beforehand. Mm-hmm. So for us, for that year coming up for 2024, we started early in 2023 with the prototypes and early with the art and different renditions and different styles. And we had to scrap this. We had to rework this. And, you know, it was just one of those things that it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in 2 months. It doesn't happen in 3 months.
Right.
It's just, you know, people do understand it. Some people do and some people don't. And they'll eventually get it. So,
Awesome. Well, again, Simon Cubani from SK Customs, really appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule to come talk with us. We've really enjoyed having you, so thanks for being a guest on the No Lowballers podcast.
Thanks for having us, guys, and thank you, everyone.
Well, that's it for this episode of the No Lowballers podcast. We appreciate all of you tuning in on all of the various platforms. We really appreciate you joining us for this ride each and every week. Make sure you're subscribed on your favorite platform. You can find us all of the videos on YouTube and all of your favorite podcasting platforms. Listen and make sure you're subscribed there. Leave us some likes and comments. We do read the comments. We do respond to them. We just really appreciate you guys tuning into the show each and every week, because without you, there is no us. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. That is it for this week, and we will see you right here next week on the next episode of the No Lowballers podcast.